No heartbreaks on this show today. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency. You're live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. We're about to pray. Say a little prayer for you this morning. That's right. We're about to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And each day in that endeavor, I am joined by a prayer warrior, somebody from the Archangel Radio family who comes into the studio or comes down the line and offers their time for you to pray for you. For me and them to pray together for you this morning. So let's find out who is our prayer warrior.
In the studio with us today is Mr. David Williams.
David, it's Wednesday. It must be David Williams.
Yes, it is. Live and in person.
How are you this Wednesday, David?
I am absolutely fine and dandy.
Fine and dandy. That's the spirit. I don't know if you caught any of that interview with Jeffrey Bruno. Quite a character.
I did not, Kevin. I missed it. Sherry had me horned in her office, and we were going over text messages. She was texting me yesterday to remind me of today, and she ended up texting the wrong David. It was kind of a comical story on the responses she was getting. But anyway, I missed the interview.
Hopefully it was a David who's part of the Archangel Radio family.
Otherwise, no,
it's sadly just some random David.
It was sadly and comically, it was not. It was he didn't know what the Divine Mercy Chaplet was. And you know what? Now, I think about it, maybe we should. That's an opportunity when you think about it. So.
Well, listen, David. If that David is listening to this show, I think God is calling you to come in and pray with me.
Absolutely.
While there's still time. Please, you know that talk about that. If you got a text message like that, you would say, "Crikey, this is the divine call, really."
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Anyway, we've got you, David, and we're very, very grateful to have you this morning with us. Now, I'll just let people know, David and I are about to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, as we have done many times on this show. And there are two ways that David and I can pray for you. You can call the show on 888-928-0881. Reed will take your call, and you can come on air and speak to us, or if you prefer, just privately, quietly, give your intention to Reed, and he will pass it to us or read it out on air. And we will pray for you. The other way, which is even quicker, is to text the show directly on 251-928-2111. And any text we get through today, we will definitely be praying for you and your intentions. We've had a couple in already this morning, and there'll be many more, I'm sure. And David will also bring his intentions. So basically, we just sit here for the next 30 minutes praying for everybody. And I have to say, I don't know about you, David, I find it the most joyful 30 minutes of radio there is.
Absolutely. It's a blessing, Kevin, for sure.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Okay. Well, listen, I'm sure you've come fully armed as usual.
Yes, sir. I am.
And just for anybody who suddenly got worried about that last comment, I mean, has he brought his rosary beads, okay? Just in case you think that David is sitting in the Archangel studio with an MK whatever. No, he's not. He's sitting with a nice rosary beads.
And packing we are heat with my pray. Rosary, for sure.
And he has a safety catch off on his rosary beads, yeah. As do I. Okay, David, let's begin, as we always do, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Thank you so much, David. That is us up and running. So for this first decade, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Kevin, as always, I always like to offer up for this decade the continued conversion of my son, Zachary Christian, for the continued growth in of closeness to Jesus Christ for Anna Elizabeth, and for the comfort of my dear mother, Charlotte, as she moves into the twilight of her life.
Absolutely. That's the first time you've mentioned Charlotte. Is everything okay on that front at the moment, David?
Yes, Kevin. She's 85, and a couple weeks ago we rememorialized my father and younger.
That's right.
And you know, Kevin, you had asked me to text in, and I don't want to take too much time, but Anna had some trouble, car trouble coming up. So by the time I had all that squared away with her, I looked up and it was 9:40, and so I didn't get a chance to text in prayer intentions for her.
You know, David, you didn't need to worry because your guardian angel alerted me and we prayed for you anyway.
What a blessing. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, guardian
angel.
It came
to me in a flash. It was your guardian angel. And so we prayed for you that morning. We prayed for your family and we prayed because you were – just tell people what you were doing that morning because it was a very special moment for you and your family, David.
Well, my father is from a very small town and from generation – very, very deep roots, a little small town in Alabama called Lounsboro. But – many years ago, 35 years ago, when my little brother, who died at 8, they had him buried in Mississippi. And long story short, when my father had a terminal diagnosis 2 years ago, he wanted to be buried in this very, very, very old small cemetery. And so through trial and tribulation, we finally had my father and brother moved to that cemetery, and we had a memorial service for him a week ago, not this past Friday, but a week before on Friday.
That's right. And we remembered you there as part of our Praying Archangel Radio family. Okay, David, let's pray for Zachary Christian, for Anna Elizabeth, and for Charlotte in this decade, as we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. That is our first decade up and running. Now, I have some intentions that have come in here today on text. And the first is from Richard. Good morning to you, Richard. Thank you so much for your text. I know you texted the show yesterday, Richard. It was too late for our prayer then, so it was coming to it this morning. But you texted again, and I'm so grateful that you did. Now, Richard has texted a number of times asking for prayers for his daughter, Catherine. And this Wednesday today is her final chemo treatment. So Richard says, may Jesus, Mary, and Joseph be with her and keep her safe from any bad, serious, or permanent side effects. And Richard goes on to ask for the prayer which we are now going to together pray for, that Catherine be healed completely. Amen. And he goes on to say, God bless you for all your prayers. We will pray for all of you in our 54-day rosary novena. Thank you so much, Richard, for that. That's very kind of you. And then he goes on to add, in about 4 weeks, you will start radiation treatments, which go on for 6 weeks, Monday to Friday. Wow. So your prayers have done her so much. Your prayers have done so much for her in every way, and such a comfort to her and us also. Richard, it's been our privilege and pleasure to accompany you and your wife and Catherine at this time in this endeavor. And if you don't mind, Richard, I am going to up the ante in your prayers. I'm going to ask and pray for a miracle this morning with Catherine. Not just that the chemo ends, but that the whole thing ends and that Catherine is released from this cancer. And I ask that the precious blood of Jesus flow through her veins and somehow eradicate all the cancer, which is doing so much damage to her. But it's doing good to us because we are praying for her this morning. So be assured of our prayers this morning, Richard, for Catherine. And Catherine, if you're listening for this, whether you're on your way to hospital or on your way back, know that you've been prayed for by this praying family here on Archangel Radio. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. So for this third decade, I'm turning again to you, David. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
Kevin, I want to pray for a few things. One, for the repose of the soul of a Miss Adeline Flowers, and also for the continued healing of Christopher Hill and the comfort of his wife, Diane Hill, as he continues to battle lung cancer. He's progressing, but we have to continue to pray for him. And then special prayers for the healing and comfort of Jim Ellis and Pam Penix, a couple of parishioners that are very near and dear to me at Christ the King.
Wonderful. We'll pray for Christopher at this time. Christopher and his wife, Mr. and Mrs. Hill, if you're listening to this, we're praying that this lung cancer somehow be cured, somehow you be released from its pain, or certainly the pain to decrease today, Christopher. And Jim and Pam at Christ the King, we pray for you. We pray for everybody at Christ the King, but we pray especially for Jim and Pam. Whatever your physical problems are, we pray in the name of Jesus that they be taken away and you know how good God is, the mercy of God. And of course, we pray for the repose of the soul of Miss Flowers. And we pray perhaps now in this decade, David, for all the departed, for all the souls, all the faithful departed, especially those that have died recently and those that are listening who are bereaved at this time.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. Now, for this fourth decade, there's a number of people that we've been praying for this week. We've got a number of walking wounded out there at the moment. We've got Jennifer, Mike Romano's wife. Jennifer, good morning to you. We're praying for your continued recovery from your recent accident, and I know you're going through various physiotherapies, etc. We pray that all that will be wonderful, you'll enjoy it, and before you know it, you'll be running around chasing after Mike once again. We also pray for Mary Thompson, who is a prayer warrior, one of our own, who often comes into this show. I remember Mary in particular, David, because Mary's always praying for the souls in purgatory that have nobody to pray for them.
Wonderful.
And she's got me doing it now. So so Mary, we're not forgetting you. We're going to pray for you. I know you injured your foot and you had an operation. And I think the operation was this week. And you're in recovery now. I've had communication from your good friend Jenny. And good morning to you, Jenny, as well. Jenny says it all went well. So we're hoping it has gone well, Mary. And we're hoping it is going even better. And before long, you will be back in the studio toe-tapping out our Divine Mercy Chaplet. Now, talking of walking wounded, I hope that is not the case with our esteemed station manager, Ellen. Ellen is off to the dentist this morning. Ellen, if you're at the dentist, we pray all is going well. If you're back from the dentist, don't say a word. Don't say a word. We hope all is well. But I don't know about you, David. Going to the dentist is the last thing I want to do.
I would rather take a beating than go to the dentist.
Well, Ellen, I'm not offering that as an alternative. I am not, but we hope your dentist trip goes well and you come back fully recovered with a gleaming smile, as dentists can only leave us with. So I pray for all of that. And also today, in this, we're just a day after the Assumption, I'd like to pray for all the people who volunteered their assistance in committing this show and this station to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Do you remember we were going to do the consecration, David? Mm-hmm. And you volunteered. You were one of the first to step right across the line.
Absolutely.
So your name is top of my list, actually, David. And then we had an anonymous. We had Jim C. Good morning, Jim. We had Chuck. Good morning to you, Chuck. Lee, Mary T. Amal, Marguerite, good morning in Belgium to both of you. Louise, Kay, Kristen, and another Mary. So all of you kind people, you put yourselves forward, and I'd just like to return the compliment, return the serve in the best possible way, which is to pray for you this morning. Whatever your intentions are, whatever your needs are, you are being prayed for. Now, I've just had a text from Jenny. Good morning, Jenny. Jenny is saying, good morning, Kevin. Good morning, David. Yes. And she's saying, Mary is doing great. Wonderful.
Awesome.
And her cats are loving her new footwear. Not quite sure what to make of that, David, but it sounds good, right?
Yeah, it does. I have a visual image in my mind, but and it's kind of comical, but it's a blessing.
It's a blessing. Well, listen, Mary, keep tuned in to Archangel Radio. You'll be as right as rain soon. And good morning to all your cats, however many you have. And so glad they're enjoying their footwear. You know, cats are part of God's creation. So we have to love them and they love us back. And let's give thanks for the joy that animals give to us often. Okay, so for this fourth decade, let's pray together. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, David. Okay, believe it or not, we have come to the fifth and final decade. So I'm going to come back to you for the last word, David, as is our custom with all our prayer warriors. But before we do, let's turn to Reed. Reed, is there anyone or anything you would like us to pray for?
Yes, Kevin, I have a few just right here from the St. Lawrence Parish.
Good.
The first is from Amy, who wants to pray for her daughter, Grace, that she receives healing in mind, body, and spirit.
Wonderful.
And then we have a few from the Seven Sorrows Rosary Group. One is for Chuck, that he makes a full recovery following a stroke that he experienced last Friday.
Right.
One for Shirley, who was recently diagnosed with a malignant melanoma. And for Fonda, in Thanksgiving, for a full recovery from a brain tumor that she had.
Wow. And that's Fonda, did you say?
Yes, Fonda. Yes, sir.
Fonda. Wonderful. That's great news, Fonda.
Yep.
Wonderful.
And I would like to pray for any parish administrators and secretaries who
Wonderful.
Work in the parish offices in our diocese.
I say this often, David, but Reed has a big heart for the little guy. Do you know what I mean? For the people,
yes,
the people you can just easily look over and forget about. And Reed brings them to this prayer nearly every single day. And I love that. Who would have thought? Parish administrators and secretaries.
Sticking,
absolutely.
Same thing.
If you're listening to this and you're a parish administrator and a secretary, you have a good friend in Reed, and we're praying for you and your intentions this morning, not least for the gift of patience when it comes to your parish priest. And the Seven Sorrows Rosary, I love you guys. I love the name, Seven Sorrows Rosary Group. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we're going to pray for Chuck, for Shirley, and give thanks for Fonda's great news. And Amy, if you're listening to this, we're praying for grace for total healing in mind, body, and soul. Okay, one late entry into the proceedings. It comes from the mother who wants, anonymously wanting prayers for her youngest. We are continuing to pray for that situation. We're asking Our Lady on Tire of Knots to unscramble his brains so that he understands what his mother is saying to him. Because you know what it's like, David? Mothers are always right.
Absolutely. Listen to your mother.
That's the safest ground to go on. And if you're listening, Charlotte, we salute you. Okay, David, last word to you.
I want to pray for, considering everything in the last week or two, for especially for all of our priests and clergy and religious first. And then second, always, Kevin, I want the Holy Spirit to rain down many blessings upon you and your ministry. You are my favorite Irishman broadcasting out of London, and your ministry is doing so much good. So I ask that the Holy Spirit just pour many blessings out upon you.
Thank you, David. But I have to ask, how many Irishmen do you know broadcasting out of London?
You are the only one.
So it's not much competition to be your favorite. Yeah,
you
then,
are the one and only.
I appreciate the thought, David. But yes, you're absolutely right. Let's pray this final decade, especially for all our priests and religious. We do need them. I know I was joking about parish priests and the parish secretaries, but we pray for all our priests, especially priests across the archdiocese. And we pray for our archbishop as well at this time. We pray the Holy Spirit really guide all of our ordained ministers. And we also pray that they have one aim. One aim, simply to become saints and to bring all of their congregation, their flock, with them to heaven.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. David, thank you so much for coming in, taking time out, and praying with us and for us, for all these wonderful people. I've lost count of the number of people we prayed for today.
That's a good thing, Kevin, and thank you. It's always a pleasure.
It's a great pleasure to meet you on these airwaves, David. I don't know what you're up to today, but I hope it's very, very good and very, very blessed.
You as well, Kevin. Thank you so much.
That was David Williams, one of our wonderful prayer warriors, and we thank him and all our prayer warriors for their service over these months to you. Wonderful. Okay, when we come back, we are going to be continuing our quest for the Lost Ark of the Covenant. And as I said to you yesterday, it may have been there in plain sight all the time. Stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
Transmission is the single most expensive and complicated component on your vehicle. At Advanced Transmission on Highway 31 in Spanish Fort, our friendly staff is happy to answer your questions to help you understand the repair process. Honesty is our signature, quality is our work. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 5:30. You can contact us by calling 251-626-6061 or advanced-transmission.com. That's 251-626-6061 or advanced-transmission.com.
Snelling Staffing Services has been a member of the Mobile and Baldwin County area for the past 45 years and is a proud sponsor of Archangel Radio. We work with hundreds of clients in the office services, labor, and administrative fields. If you're looking for a new career path or need employees for your business, give us a call at 251-473-1001 or visit our website, snellingmobile.com, for a listing of our job opportunities.
We all have kind of been going through the motions, and I think this is an opportunity to say, what does it really mean to be Catholic? What does it mean to be Catholic in a time of crisis in which things are not going so well for the church and for society? And I think that allows us to step back and say, what is fundamental to our faith? Fundamental to our faith is obviously the sacrament. Fundamental to our faith is community. What can we do to build that up? Rethink it all, and in a sense, like you said, start over.
LA Catholic Morning, weekdays at 7 a.m. on Archangel Radio.
Father Timothy Vavrick.
Once we come into this relationship with Christ, we come into a new relationship with God and with one another and with the world. And everything that we are is part of living out that identity as being united to God and Jesus.
Grow in your relationship with Christ by listening to Archangel Radio.
Here's Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde on the laying on of hands.
Goes back to apostolic times. We read about that in the Bible, that the apostles would impose hands, calling men to ordained ministry. And so that ancient sign, which has been passed through the generations of the church, as we use the term apostolic succession, that from the apostles succeeding generations have passed on what Jesus gave to the apostles. And there at the ordination, as successor of the apostles, as part of this unbroken line of succession back to the apostles, I impose hands to pass on to these newly ordained men what has been passed on to me. That's a very special moment, and it's done in silence. And so it's dramatic. The cathedral is silent. There's no music. Nothing is said. It is just, it's such a simple moment, such a simple gesture, but so profound. And then every priest there comes forward and in silence imposes hands.
We are made to go to heaven. We're made to live with the Trinity. And so as we're waiting that rebirth, that's what we long for.
I don't know what's got into you. Well, what's going on?
You said that we were going to be discussing woodpeckers tomorrow.
Yes.
So I played the Woody the Woodpecker theme.
You're just setting us up nicely. You're setting us up nicely. You're too young to remember Woody Woodpecker, aren't you?
I've seen some of those old cartoons, but I'm not really well versed in it at all.
I like the way you said the word old cartoons there.
My dad has a like the special edition, you know, box set of the Looney Tunes and things like that.
Yeah, I loved all that as a kid. Yeah, Woody Woodpecker tomorrow. Yeah, we are doing Woody Woodpecker. Well, sorry, we're not doing Woody Woodpecker tomorrow. We're doing woodpeckers tomorrow. This is a very important interview, Reed. It's going to be very scientific. It's going to be very sober, very balanced. You know, we're gonna differentiate the news from the fake news about woodpeckers.
You may hear horns at different points.
I look forward to it.
If I decide to play the theme during the interview.
I wonder what our guest reaction would be to Woody Woodpecker as his entry music. Well, you know, we do everything on this show, right? We do things that are out of this world. We've had UFOs. We've had all the spiritual stuff we've had beautiful discussions like this morning with our friend Jeffrey Bruno, and we've had all these wonderful prayer warriors down through the months, and now we're doing woodpeckers straight after the other thing we did. What was that thing we did, that thing that swims around the ocean?
Manatees.
That's it. Has anybody seen a manatee? If you've witnessed a manatee, especially on the streets of Mobile, can you call this number immediately, 888-928-0881, and ask for Reed, who will take down all the particulars and pass them to our colleagues down on Dauphin Island. We take this reporting of manatee sightings across Mobile and Fairhope very, very seriously on this show. So again, call Reed immediately on 888-928-0881 any time of the day or night, right, Reed?
Yes, I'll be there. You know, it may be hours if it's like the manatee lady said. I'll be there as soon as I can, but I may have to wait for my alarm clock to wake up.
That's right. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I think that's when Elizabeth likes to be contacted about manatee sightings. Do you remember she said?
I think that is when she said. They range out of the office, get all ready, and go down there and record the manatees. I'm not sure exactly what the parameters for what they do when they get there, other than logging their habitat and things like that.
That's right. All right. Well, look, enough about manatees and Woody Woodpecker. Woody's coming. Well, sorry, not the Woodpecker Man's coming on tomorrow, and we'll be talking all about woodpeckers and their wonderful contribution to the ecological infrastructure tomorrow. But now we are going story time.
Story time.
Welcome back to Storytime here on the Turley Frequency. Now, do you remember yesterday we were celebrating the Assumption, Feast of the Assumption? We were talking about Our Lady, and we were talking about our friend Brant Petrie, and I told you that I'd just finished his book, which is entitled Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary, Unveiling the Mother of the Messiah. Do you notice the way books today can't, or sorry, not the books, the editors who write the titles, they can't refrain from unveiling, decoding, unearthing, you know, solving, you know, the mystery. So it makes it really, really intriguing. And that's what the purpose of booksellers is, to get you to buy the book. I was more interested in the whole idea of the Jewish roots of Our Lady, but also Brant Petrie, who is also the author of Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist, is a first-class Catholic writer, as I've been discovering. I really do, and I don't know him. I wish we could have him on the show. He doesn't really do interviews for some reason. I don't know why. He's only in Louisiana. It's not that far. But he doesn't seem to want to do interviews with anybody, not just with us, with anybody. If you're listening, Brant, you have an open line anytime you like, 888-928-0881. Okay. So yesterday I was explaining how the young Brant had virtually had his belief or his understanding to the devotion of Our Lady completely capsized. Do you remember? He fell in love with a young woman who wasn't Catholic, and he met her Protestant family and her pastor, and he demolished the very frail devotions that this young man had. I say frail because the foundations were so weak. So he really did begin to take in some of this Protestant propaganda. And I say the word propaganda because it's not true. Propaganda is something which is to create a point. It's not the truth. We Catholics do not worship Mary. I said this yesterday. That may be news to somebody out there in Lower Alabama. I do not know, but it's breaking news. Catholics do not and have never worshipped Mary. There you go. Print that. Yes, we do call her Queen of Heaven. And yes, there is the Queen of Heaven in Jeremiah. Yes, I talked about that yesterday. But it's a different Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven in Jeremiah chapter 7 is a pagan goddess who is an idol. And you know, the Old Testament is full of prohibitions against worshipping idols, rightly so. And guess what? We Catholics, we have the same prohibitions. We do not worship idols. We don't even worship people. We worship God. And we worship a triune God, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Which could lead us into a whole different debate about do we all worship the same God? I'm not going to go into that today or anytime soon, but we worship the triune Christian God. That is the mark of being a Christian. That's why baptism is so important. And you know, baptism is only valid when it's Trinitarian. Did you know that? If I baptized you in the name of Jesus, that is not a valid baptism. If I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit, that is not a valid baptism. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it is so powerful and so important, it can only be done once in your life. So sometimes you hear sad stories of people who are baptized as infants, as Catholics, and then they go off and they full immersion in another church somewhere else, and they think, no, you can't repeat it. It's once and for all. And the reason, surprisingly, is scriptural. It's scriptural. It's an indelible mark upon the soul. And it's the only mark you need to get into heaven, right? Now, you have to obviously be in a state of grace and all the rest of it, but you need that mark to get into heaven. So it's very, very important. So if there's anybody listening to this who hasn't been baptized and you're driving along the freeway, well, check with your sat-nav or whatever you're using. Where is the next Catholic church, the next turnoff for the next Catholic church? Go make an appointment with the pastor there and see about getting baptized if you feel that calling. But it's that urgent, my friends. It really is. Anyway, back to Brant. So he went off to university, do you remember, to study New Testament studies. Now, that should have been the end of him, right? His faith was badly damaged, and then he's gone off to do New Testament studies. Now, I say that because a lot of people who do New Testament studies end up believing in nothing. There are a whole battery of eminent New Testament scholars who don't believe a word of it. Sad to say, I know. And it's strange. I know. But they don't believe it. Now, I explained yesterday partly why that is. Do you remember? The devil loves to get into those situations. He loves to blind people, to throw the dust of doubt into people's minds. And sometimes you can look too closely at something. Because even the Bible is predicated on an act of faith. Think about it. When people say, I believe what's in the Bible, no. You believe, you make an act of faith about what is in the Bible. And if you're not a Catholic, you're on your own. If you are a Catholic, you are making that act of faith as part of a church. Because what gave us the Bible in the first place? We've been over this a number of times in this show. It was the Catholic Church. I can't remember whether it was Carthage or Hippo. I could check it out. It was back in the 4th century. That's when the canon was finally decided. And then subsequent early church councils decided that these are the books which are going to be Holy Scripture. That's the Bible. Now, before that, there was some understanding, but it wasn't defined. And subsequent to that, one of the greatest eras of the Reformation was where they began to strip out parts of the Bible. We won't have that book. That book doesn't agree with our thinking. That letter isn't so good. We'll throw that out. You can't do that. You just can't do it. Anyway, back to Brandt. So, now, do you remember yesterday I said that what should have happened with his New Testament studies was that his faith was completely gone. Didn't quite work like that. Instead, he began to, obviously, the Holy Spirit began to work on him, and the opposite happened, and he was going in the right direction. But there was still this sort of lingering doubt about Our Lady, but there were three things that he identified which helped him. First of all, his study of church history, and this is important, and it's a good thing to study church history. Sometimes when you're doing theology courses, people wonder why they're studying the history of the church. Why aren't they just studying the doctrines and the dogmas and the debates and the philosophical? Part of the reason is because our church is part of history. We talk about salvation history. And it's very important that we do. Certain non-Christian faiths and religions are very vague about time. I have some experience of the Buddhist world and the Hindu world, and they talk about various cosmologies, and they talk about reincarnation, and time is a very, very fluid entity. That's not the case for us Christians, be Catholic or whatever. We believe that the world was created at a certain point. We don't have to define when it was, but it was created by God at a certain point. And guess what? The world will end at a certain point. With the final judgment. There is a beginning and an end. And that beginning and an end has a name, our Lord and Savior, the Alpha and the Omega. That's why we believe that the continuum of time, this progress of history, is part of this salvation narrative. So Brandt started studying the ancient roots of Christianity, in particular, what they believed about Mary. And what he discovered was that all the things that we believe today, the perpetual virginity, the sinlessness, her identity as Mother of God, it was all there at the beginning. Hadn't changed. Not only was it there at the beginning, it was there in all the places at the beginning, in the Holy Land, Syria, Egypt, Greece, Asia Minor, Rome, you name it, it was there. The second point is more nuanced, do you remember? What he was believing about Our Lady was because it was related to what the church believed about our Lord. You can't have one without the other. Our understanding of Our Lady is predicated on our understanding of Christ. That is why so many people lose their faith in Christ. Because they don't have any devotion to Our Lady. Can you see how devotion to Our Lady is almost like a buffer zone? keeps you right. And without it, you're a little bit naked theologically. Now, the third thing, which is what I'm coming to, is this, that the young Brandt discovered that not only did the ancient Christians believe all of this about Our Lady and how it also helped to understand Christ, but that these beliefs came from not just the New Testament. In fact, more deliberately, they came from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. And we have that wonderful quote from Pope Benedict XVI, "The image of Mary in the New Testament is woven entirely of Old Testament threads." Okay? So that's kind of where we're up to. So you might say, okay, Kevin, get all that. Where's this? What's this got to do with the Ark? Good question. Okay, so if I say to you the Ark of the Covenant, what's the first thing that comes to mind? I bet it is not Moses. I bet the first thing that comes to mind is Harrison Ford. Let's ask Reed. Reed, in all seriousness, now I know you're a good Catholic and well-educated, but let's say before you had all that education, if I said to you the Ark of the Covenant, what would you have thought about?
The Indiana Jones movie is really the only secular reference that I can think of. Like you're saying, I mean, I do know what that means. But
I know you do. I know you do. But let's be honest. I mean, I am ashamed to say that when the movie came out, I had no idea I'd had more about Indiana Jones than I had about the Ark. So, because I just hadn't really studied it. I didn't know the Old Testament. I didn't quite understand it. I knew it was something to do with the Bible vaguely, which is why the Nazis were chasing after it and why Indiana Jones wanted it. And, you know, I could kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really understand what the Ark was about. Anyway, so just before we go to the history of the Ark, which is actually very, very fascinating, and I will tell you where the Ark is by the end of this, don't worry. There has been a, how can I put this? The search for the Ark is up there with a search for Noah's Ark. Right? Now, Noah's Ark is spelt slightly different. You know the way there's all these people that go up to mountaintops in Turkey and other countries, and they're looking for the remains of Noah's Ark. And, you know, people have been doing this for decades now. You know, they really do. I don't know how they can afford to travel around and do all this. But there's a similar cottage industry, as we say, similar sort of subgenre of searchers for the lost Ark. And they're all over the place. And I did a quick search online just before we came on air. And somebody said that they found the Ark only a couple of months ago and that they found it in the Holy Land. Now, there's a number of places which allege that they have the Ark. And I'm not going to go into any great detail with them. But there's a very famous one in Ethiopia, which I'm sure you've all heard about. And it's a monastery there, Ethiopian Orthodox Church. And it has all sorts of claims about the Ark resting there. And a sort of a lineage to do with Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. And it gets all very interesting. It's like something out of a film. It really is. Scientists are not so sure. Scientists are really, archaeologists in particular, cast great doubts upon any of these claims. So there's various claims in Ethiopia. There's been claims in Rome in the Basilica of St. John at one point that was allegedly to be the Ark, but somehow it was lost in a fire and something. Like a lot of these claims, they get very sort of vague. The claims are vague enough, but they... where the actual object is today often ends up that it was lost, misplaced, et cetera, you know the stuff. Anyway, Southern Africa. Now, the strangest one of all, and this one made me laugh when I heard it, was that the lost Ark ended up in Ireland. Do you hear this? Now, this may sound really, really strange, but round about the turn of the 20th century, there was an organization called the British Israel Association. And the British Israelites, as they were known, were very, very popular in Anglicanism in particular. And so much so that St. John Henry Newman was very, very concerned when he was an Anglican about the influence of the British Israelite Association. It was a kind of a popular mania. If you can imagine the Da Vinci Code, but flipped over, right? So the British Israelites were going around saying that the British, the Irish, the British, were all lost tribes of Israel. Now, I can hear you laughing in the background there, anybody listening to this, but this was a very popular thing. Now, it wasn't just the British and the Irish who thought of themselves as lost tribes of Israel. There's lots of people who think of themselves as lost tribes, because the beauty of the lost tribes is they never turned up. The lost tribes were lost at the Babylonian captivity, taken off, and the only tribes that were left were Judah and Benjamin. So there's a lot of lost tribes out there, and nobody quite knows where they've ended up. There's been some DNA research done on this, and some of them have ended up in parts of Europe and what have you. But anyway, at the turn of the 20th century, the British Israelites were very intent on discovering the Ark of the Covenant, and they decided that the Ark of the Covenant was in a hill in Ireland, the hill of Tara. Now, Tara is very much linked with St. Patrick, and even before St. Patrick was known to the Druids who lived in Ireland. So it is a hill, and it is a hill, it's not a mountain, it's only a hill, which has all sorts of sacred connotations, both pagan and Christian. So the British Israel Association decided to excavate the hill. However, they did so much damage to the hill that there was a campaign started by others to stop them from demolishing this piece of Irish topography in this search for the Ark, because guess what? Absolutely nothing turned up. Now, in the 1990s, there was a proper archaeological search of the site with non-invasive techniques, and that too drew a blank. So the whole business of the Ark in Ireland was proved to be false. Why do I say that? Because I'm trying to say that the Ark has, for some reason, become part of a kind of mythology in certain imaginations. There are still people today obsessed with finding the Ark. Now, unfortunately, we are probably going to run out of time today on this, so we'll return to it tomorrow, but that's okay. So I think the important thing to remember is that, first of all, the Ark does have a history, and this is overlooked. It is not simply an archaeological artifact that people are looking for. The Bible is very, very clear about not just the construction of the Ark, but more importantly, perhaps, why it was constructed and why it was so important to the early religious experience of the children of Israel, especially as they left slavery in Egypt. Because when I reveal in these coming days where the Ark is, it will only become clear as to where it is once we've understood where it came from and why it was given to the children of Israel. And remember, this is all in one context that we're discussing this, which is part of the clue, right? Do you remember what I said? Young Brant Petrie discovered the truth about Our Lady, or his understanding of why we think what we think about Our Lady in certain regards, because he went back to the Old Testament. Now, that's a very, very good clue about where we might end up. But what I'm saying is that we need to go back and understand what the Ark of the Covenant was to go forward to find out where it ended up. Okay, so that's it for today. Listen, we will continue this search for the Ark tomorrow. I hope it's as exciting as Indiana Jones. Let's see. Our Lady, our Queen of Heaven, pray for us.
All right, Kevin. I really thought Mr. Bruno was really captivating, and I always love having David Williams. He's become one of my favorite you know, partners to come in and get to talk to for a minute before he prays with us.
Yeah, David has just such a lovely spirit about him. And, you know, praying for the same people every time, they sort of become part of our spiritual family, right?
I think so, too.
Well,
I'm wondering who we have tomorrow, but I know we had Harry Bruinius, and then today we had Jeff Bruno. So I'm wondering if they have a Bruin in their name.
You know what? I'm desperately looking for who it is tomorrow. I'm sorry. I should have had this lined up. It's a gentleman I've never met before, and he's coming to talk to us all about woodpeckers. And that's really all you need to know at this point.
Is it Woody Woodpecker, and you just don't want to reveal it to our audience?
No. Sorry, I've got his name now. It's Matt Courtman. Matt Courtman. And tomorrow, Reed, you must not say, "Here's Woody," when he comes on the line.
Yes.
Promise me.
I've been told to play it straight tomorrow.
No Woody Woodpecker music, no da-da-da, da-da-da, and no funny laughter when we're having our very serious discussion about woodpeckers. Listen, I hope you enjoyed listening to us today. We've certainly enjoyed serving you here on the good ship Archangel Radio. And if you've enjoyed it, let's do it all again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same me. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love. And until we meet again, may God bless you.